All right, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm the Moon Gen.
And I'm David.
And yes, this week we are back on the moon, possibly because we angered Jackie Gleason.
Well, to the moon!
Talking about the moon. We've left the moon.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of being on the moon.
Yeah. I hope my legs don't break walking on the moon.
I know that song now. Ooh, good job.
Shocking.
You're catching up. You're catching up with 40 years of music history.
That's still that new wave era, that mid-70s to mid-80s is the chunks, like when I wasn't in control of the radio or alive.
Yeah, so I'm going to assume that prior to this you believed that Genesis and the Police were the same band.
No,
I'm not sure he knew who either one of them were.
The Police is a band I'd heard of, but like I didn't know shit about them.
I'm enjoying David learning about Morrissey.
Oh, Morrissey is... Again, things I've heard of but never totally understood. Okay, he's the guy that left the Smiths.
Uh-huh.
And he's such a comedy. Like, he's such a joke. It's shocking. Anytime I hear his songs, it's like, okay, I can understand why you like the Smiths. The Smiths, their stuff is good. But Morrissey on his own, every song I've heard is comedy.
Just unintentional self-parody.
Also, super popular in, like, South America?
Yeah.
It's just so weird.
Like, all you need to know about Morrissey is he has a song called I Have Forgiven Jesus.
joke. It's a joke.
So we are kicking off today with The Visitor. First aired September 21st, 2019.
The Visitor waving emoji.
Yes.
Yes, it is important to keep track of what emojis are being used.
Surprisingly, it actually is. It will get there.
So just for obsessive archival purposes, I have been downloading things from YouTube just to keep on a backup drive, just in case. And I need to go and see what... YTDLP thought of those emojis in the file names, because I feel like there may be some file names that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah. Issues.
Yeah, we are back on the arc, and Wheeljack is he's doing machines.
Yes.
Yeah, he's pulling a Mythbusters.
Wheeljack, no.
He's got like a magnet weapon, he's got a something that he doesn't even know what it does.
He's not quite to IDW brainstorm levels yet, because he's not dealing with hilariously like metafictional and theoretical and conceptually off the wall stuff, but no, he's getting there.
Not that bad, but he does have a thing that makes a black hole. I think that might have been the thing. He didn't know what it was.
Apparently.
But the highlight of this is that he's made hyperfuel, which is a super energon that's going to be enough to blast the Ark out of this volcano.
Seems dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's a perfectly normal Wheeljack thing.
Also, I'm once again reminded a few times about the Ark being stuck in a volcano in the Pacific Northwest being one of those things that the shape remains from a prior origin that younger people probably do not recall or understand.
Yeah.
Like why cigarette why car power outlets are shaped like that, or the old save icon.
Yeah, was the Ark already in the mountain, the volcano, last season?
Yes, that's where they found it.
Okay, I forgot that entirely. like most of last season, other than Bumblebee having to be babysat.
Because there was a reason, but everyone has forgotten. I mean, not everyone has forgotten, but culture has largely forgotten the incident that inspired that to be the case.
Amongst younger generations of Transformers fans, they may know Mount St. Helens. Or sorry, they may know, what was it? What is it, Mount St. Agatha?
Mount
St. Hilary.
Mount St.
Yes,
Hilary.
It was Mount
St.
Hilary was the,
yes,
the fictional one.
More than actual Mount St. Helens.
Yes.
Legally distinct Mount St. Helens.
Yes. Although, I mean, I guess you probably don't want to name it after something that legitimately did kill several people.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I would think that, you know, normally Marvel uses real locations, but I can see in that specific case, maybe not wanting to use a specific location that was an actual, like, place people died.
Yes. So, you know, he gives it to this drone, it starts boinging around the room. And then Bumblebee, of course, is, after last episode, is still obsessed with the mysterious moon creature he saw.
Yeah. No one else has seen it. He's asking everybody else about it. No one else has seen it.
He's like Fred Flintstone trying to tell people about the Great Gazoo.
Yes.
Sadly, Cheetor does not sound like Harvey Korman in this.
Aww.
I mean, if he spent most of his time referring to Megatron and Optimus as dum-dums, better show.
I did, I thought him asking Teletran X about it kind of felt like asking ChatGPT about it.
Oh, God, yeah, that was so, like, precursor of AI nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah. Just starting out.
He just kept going on about bananas. And then the, mentioned, like, Aztec astronauts.
Yes, because Cheetor, or Bumblebee asked about, you know, what creatures live on the moon, and Teletran X was like, none, not since the Aztec astronauts died out. It's like,
You can't see it on the podcast, but I'm doing the aliens meme guy.
And then, yes, it assumes that he's talking about a banana, and it starts talking about this banana in a way that did remind me of the thing recently about how if you ask ChatGPT version 5 if there's a seahorse emoji, you will completely destroy it.
It just goes on and on.
It's just
on
hung up on the banana, and I was like, this is just ChatGPT.
Oh, have we seen this Ratchet before? Oh, no, I guess he was on the Ark flashback.
Yeah, we've seen pretty much everybody here before already at this point. Hot Rod we hadn't seen last season, but we've seen him now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember Ratchet. Well, also I was like, wondering, like, where is this Ratchet on the old man to party animal spectrum?
I think closer to old man. I don't know about the... He's not really much of a party animal, as far as I can tell. Maybe closer to, like...
Well, the problem is very few Ratchets are the actual party animal for the tech specs.
Yeah.
This is true. So, eventually, he's, you know, nobody is able to help him. Rack and Ruin knocks over some boxes. But luckily, RC is an animal enthusiast, and she's able to be torn away from her exciting game of Pong. And enough to show us a giraffe that is not okay.
It has a concern.
Like, was she... Did she go to a zoo and take a bunch of selfies with animals, or did she just go to Africa and take a bunch of selfies with animals?
I would guess, like, she just went to Africa.
Yeah, probably. And was like, oh, wow, look at all this stuff running around. And just roped a gorilla into a selfie and...
Oh, yeah, the gorilla selfie, too.
Like, RC, please.
Finally, he does find that this is indeed a cheetah.
Yes, she has one with a cheetah.
So now he's on
like,
the hunt.
That's it.
He's on the hunt for the moon cheetah.
The moon cheetah. Wheeljack says he might have a mammal detector.
Yes.
I have questions.
And also, Wheeljack is he's arguing with Grimlock because Grimlock wants him to use his drone like R2-D2 on Jabba's sail barge.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's, I guess that sort of solves that thing. Grimlock is now the party animal, or
yes.
the, what do you call it, like, soiree host or something?
Yes.
Yes.
D2, what are you doing here? Well, yes, I can see you're serving drinks.
I mean, the characterization in this show of many characters is very flat or odd, but I am amused by Grimlock being me, Grimlock King, in dino mode, and then his Dr. Jekyll, or Mr. Hyde, whichever it was, being a refined gentleman in bot mode.
Jekyll?
I think technically that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird.
Sure.
I blame the Dutch.
Yeah, I will also blame the Dutch. That's fair.
Or at least according to one podcast that deals with a lot of weird tales, Jekyll is probably the proper way to pronounce it, which is strange.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking they of, didn't like it either, but...
Well, speaking of Jekyll, Grimlock just decides to drink this unlabeled and unaccompanied beverage.
Yes.
Why would you drink anything in Wheeljack's lab?
Right?
Like, that's not a place where you're just going to be wandering around putting things in your mouth. That's a bad idea. Do not do it.
If you want to drink random things, go to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
It's either going to be the best booze or Dark Energon.
Oh, man, I'm so excited about Dark Energon.
I suppose this is a better outcome than Dark Energon. It just, like, we get Hyper Lock. You just
he transforms to dino mode, and then he enters the Speed Force.
Yes! The fastest dinosaur around.
Which I've been informed is the was the top stand-up and cheer moment at the Oscars. They had, like an online vote for it, and it was crashed. Swapped by Snyderverse guys. So we had to talk about the Speed Force on the Oscars.
Wow. That's rough. That's real rough. Because it's dumb.
Yeah. So he's just zipping around, just destroying everything. They're trying to use Wheeljack's inventions against him. So they try and, like, magnetize him, but instead he's just, like...
slammed into the wall.
He's putting at risk of, like, becoming a Katamari.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. If he'd been outdoors instead of inside, he probably would have ended up as a Katamari. that would be a good episode.
So we end up using the mystery gun, which turns out to be a black hole gun.
Yes.
Why do you have...
Black hole gun, won't you come?
Won't you come? Wash away the rain.
That song I knew because it was in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
I was around listening to the radio then.
It is sort of odd that most of the music I listen to that I gravitate towards now is music that came out when I was a kid, but which I didn't discover until I was a teenager.
Mm. Yes, that's the radio station I'm listening to all the frickin' time now. It's like discovering the wide range of Depeche Mode from those two or three, like, classic bangers that everyone knows. They're middling songs and a few, like, what the fuck is this, Devo? This is bad. Like, it's Depeche Mode doing Devo-ish songs and it just doesn't work.
And next you'll have to get into Sparks.
Yeah. Get into Erasure.
That's real sicko stuff.
I play whatever the one station
get
plays.
Some Heaven 17.
You will be cackling at the window saying ha ha ha. Yes.
I need to find a goddamn station that plays Rush.
I'm sure there's one on there.
Well, and it's probably coming up more because they're going back on tour.
Oh,
they are?
Yes.
Okay. When? In Toronto?
No, all over North America.
Okay, yeah, I know, but, like, Toronto is probably, like, the easiest place for me to get to, because I don't really want to go to New York City.
So unless they're doing Buffalo.
There was a long-running thing with a friend of mine who I hung out with a good bit in person in my late teens and early 20s, that he would never hear Pearl Jam in the car unless I was in the car, and then he would always hear Pearl Jam. And the ultimate culmination of this is that SiriusXM has an entirely Pearl Jam channel, preparing for that day in which I had a car with SiriusXM.
It's like you had some sort of grunge reality distortion field around you.
Yes, yes.
It looks like they're going to be in Toronto August of next year.
Yeah, like four shows. They sold out really fast.
Well, fuck.
Alas. I'll so anyway.
Anyway, yes. So, luckily, so Grimlock and Hot Rod are about to get sucked into this black hole. But luckily, Prime has come. He's got that force shield blaster. He's able to trap the black hole and Grimlock in a bubble. And I'm not 100% sure if that's how black holes work, but okay.
Not the same bubble. To be fair.
No, different bubbles.
Separate bubbles. But also, like, I feel like if you create a gun that generates a black hole, you should absolutely put a label on it.
Yes. Well, it's a micro black hole, so, like, it will run itself out over time. So, yeah, holding in a bubble it just pops itself out of existence eventually.
Like, you... Speaking of the 90s, you need one of those like label makers that like presses the letters into it, into like the plastic.
Yes.
Yeah, I had one of them. I might still have one in a box.
I used
somewhere to do
font work for my zine by printing those out and then putting them in the copy machine in the school library and upsizing them a couple times.
As was the
people
style.
People absolutely
at the
time, loved using that in like typography in the 90s.
Yes. Yes. I was that person.
So, luckily they are able to... So, this black hole dissipates. Grimlock is saved. He is...
I am a little disappointed that, like, Grimlock wasn't still running inside the ball. Like, he didn't become Super Monkey Ball and just bouncing around.
Nope, it just becomes a hamster ball, basically.
Yeah. And now...
With him and Windblade stuck in the ball. But now, yes.
Right after this happens, suddenly Bumblebee and Hot Rod, they both see the moon cheetah.
Only the dumbest boys can see Cheetor.
Yes. It's like unicorns with
virgins.
They're
just, they're drawn by their single shared brain cell.
So that now brings us to our next episode, Bring Me the Spark of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's a long, long title that it may not show up in the episode because I think it'll be too long. I'll probably just be Bring Me.
Possibly the first ever Sam Peckinpah reference in Transformers.
Really?
Oh. Well, it's a reference to the 1974 movie Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia.
Okay, that's better than how I interpreted it as Bring Me the Head of Dobie Gillis.
Oh, I know that. They didn't air that episode. It wasn't... Too mature.
No, that was a TV movie.
Oh.
Which I saw. That was my first introduction to Dobie Gillis.
Oh.
It's like, what the fuck is Gilligan doing here? But also, this is possibly the first episode of this series without an emoji on YouTube.
Ooh.
What?
Which is weird, because the entire first... It starts covered in emojis.
Did someone just forget?
And this is also notable Transformers debut.
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah.
This is the first episode ever written by May Cat.
Yep.
Okay, so it's two. Well, it's a number of things. It's the first one written by May Cat, and it's doozy.
Uh-huh.
Because, wait, how did I follow May Cat before she wrote this or something? I remember following her on Twitter for being amusing on Twitter.
I would go
to Twitter.
Well, I do not. But anyway, they have gone on to a whole bunch of Earthspark.
Yes.
And notably, their quote on the wiki says, "I am the gay agenda."
Yes.
And we open with Megatron telling us to like and subscribe.
Yes.
Miserable flesh creatures.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
So he is like...
Like, for one, it's set up like... Is it specifically like YouTube at the time, or was it trying to emulate, like, some other streaming
maybe it's like
thing?
Twitch, but I've never actually been on Twitch.
I don't think it's Twitch-like, because the format seems different. Or maybe it's Facebook?
No, I think it's more... Video at the time? I think it's more YouTube and maybe Twitch.
Okay. Okay, so it's Megatron talking with video and little buttons down, the smiley it's face, not, frowny face, look, Decepticon symbol and things.
At least it is not vertical video.
Yes.
No, it's before that, thankfully. Oh, jeez. YouTube's gotten into that, and it just annoys me. I can turn my phone if I... What? Anyway.
I'm an adult. I know how to turn my phone.
And there's a chat on the side. And the chat, instead of being, like, identifiable Decepticon names, it's screen names.
Yes.
But every screen name is a reference to the Cthulhu mythos.
Which is interesting.
There's Nyarlathotep, Yog-Sothoth, Azathoth, Dagon, Shub-Shub, and Niggurath. They split the two of them together, and I'm sorry I said that name, because, ooh.
I mean, who are we talking about?
Okay, Haster was actually the King in Yellow from whatever the fuck that writer is that got enveloped into the Lovecraftian mythos. Right. But it's like, it's entirely, like, Cthulhu things. No Cthulhu. I give you an extra star there. Don't always go to Cthulhu. Save him.
And also I saw, I guess the one exception there was, I saw somebody, there's a Shodan in there.
Oh, that's
Shodan. It's from System Shock.
Yes. I knew it was a video game. I forgot what it was. Which is like a mythos-y kind of computer monster thing, I think. I never actually played that.
Kind of filler names, but also, like, not.
Well, it has, it's like, the comments are like, Starscream Gate, R.I.P. Starscream, Photogen Erle. There's references in there. Who's Starscream? It's like most of the lines are just repeating over in random with different names. But
yeah, because Megatron is like, hey guys,
it was tragic.
My beloved and loyal second in command, Starscream, R.I.P.
Yes. Have you ever seen that one episode of the original Gundam where it's Garma's funeral? That's what this is.
The answer is no, I have not.
Well, Rob hasn't, but it's yes. Kind of, well, that the Garma speech is way more political, but there are similarities of standing in front of an effigy of the dead person and using his death, which is not the reason you're claiming that he died, as an excuse for politics.
Yes.
Now, I guess the problem with this, you know, it's interesting that he's, you know, lying to humanity like this, but
yeah.
I can't imagine it's going to have any effect because we never see any people on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
all we know is that the Autobots see it. The people commenting, I'm guessing, are other Decepticons.
Well, I assume that that was, like, just humanity.
Yeah, I assume that was, like, people.
Obviously they've been using these sorts of video platforms to address humanity.
I guess. Again, we don't see humans, so the context is dubious.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea that I have to assume it's not going to do anything with, because, again, we don't see any actual humans on this. But the idea of Decepticons manipulating humanity in a way that's less goofy than, you know, like Megatron's master plan where the Decepticons are dressing up in Autobot costumes could be interesting.
That was pretty great.
I mean, that's hilarious, but
I mean,
like, actually trying to win humanity over to their side by just, like, normal levels of political lying.
I mean, I guess there's a bit of that in Bumblebee, even though, of course, John Cena summary terms.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're called Decepticons.
You guys.
So the broadcast ends, and this is where we meet two characters who will sort of become our Decepticon, those two guys.
Yep.
Well, those two characters.
I mean, I'm using guys in the gender neutral.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's there are odd choices, though, because it's Lockdown, but not like Lockdown as he's in any other continuity.
Not like super cool Bounty Hunter Lockdown. Just...
Yeah, not Lance Hendrickson Bounty Hunter.
No, I'm not crazy about Lockdown just being some dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's not great.
I mean, I guess there was... I was about to say there was a toy to sell, but there wasn't. They didn't make a toy of Severus Lockdown, so I don't know why they're using him for this.
Well, I guess he was, Lockdown was sort of a guy in IDW, but he didn't do anything.
I just feel that there were, there were a zillion choices for Decepticons to be some dude. You know, you could use, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you could use Ruckus, you could use Quake.
Yeah, he's Ransack.
They had to make a whole new model for him anyway. Why'd you pick Lockdown?
Yeah.
Weird. And the other one, Clobber, good for her.
Yes.
Yes. She looks like Lugnut. She's basically animated Lugnut, except...
100% animated Lugnut with lips.
Yes.
Apparently Hasbro was like... Apparently they wanted to make like a female Lugnut, and Hasbro's like, can we prefer to keep Lugnut a dude. Can you just come up with like a different name?
Fair enough.
And actually, I think Clobber is a good name.
Yeah. It's fine. Wasn't there a Clobber before? Wasn't that like a Action Master Sidekick or something?
I don't believe so.
Could have sworn it showed up, or maybe it shows up somewhere later.
There's like Fist Fight, I think.
Wow.
But I don't think there's ever been a
similar.
Apparently there was Clobber who was the Titans Return, like little dinosaur guy who's based on Grimlock.
Okay, maybe that was just...
So I guess they had the name. I remember
the name being on something else. Yeah.
I'm receiving an important update via text from my millennial coworker who sent me a screenshot from the new Pokemon game and says, got them all.
Oh.
Which, I mean, I guess that is the imperative of the series tagline.
It's true. In fact, not only does it tell you to catch them all, you've got to do it.
You do. Yeah.
Anyway, so we have these two little henchmen as pawns between Soundwave and Shockwave, and
I do really like that everyone is standing behind Megatron, and I like when he's talking about how loyal Starscream was. Soundwave is just shaking his head, and at the end of it, Clobber goes, "Wow, Megatron is really good at lying." Which is great, because it was fairly deadpan up to then. It's like, no, everybody knows he's lying. But yes, also, Soundwave is just lurking in a back hallway playing dramatic music as Shockwave walks by.
Yes.
Which, honestly...
He's being diegetic. Good.
If I was... in any way a robot, I would absolutely have speakers so I could just stand around playing dramatic music all the time. Like, entirely relatable.
So anyway, Megatron, you know, he's really doubling down on getting the Allspark, and it was the Prime is the only person stopping him from getting the Allspark. So he's like, hey, bring me Optimus Prime's head, and you'll be my new second in command.
Spark.
Yeah.
If you do my job, then you can be the next second in command.
And he's all, hey, and especially you, Slipstream, who's now the head of the Seekers.
Oh.
So, you know, Shockwave and Soundwave, they both want to get it, so they're, like, conspiring against each other. It's very spy versus spy.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're making Clobber and Lockdown do the sabotaging of the other guys' ship and stuff. Is like, okay, so they bump into each other carrying bombs.
Yes. But meanwhile Shadow Striker's like, well, how about instead both of you act as bait in my deadly trap? And instead and then Slipstream is like, well, okay, I'll just get my Seekers, but instead they've all called in sick today.
Yeah. Yeah. Thundercracker shows up and no one else is there. And
nope.
Yeah. They are, don't seem to be on board with any of this.
Nope.
They are doing things.
So we're, Lockdown and Clobber. They're very henchmen 21 and 20 and 24 here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're like, whatever we do, we're probably going to get killed.
Yeah,
yeah, we're boned.
But then, hey, here's Hot Rod, who is asking them if they've seen the cheetah.
He just steps out of... they're saying it's a ground bridge, but also, like, there are some on the moon. But is it still a ground bridge if it's within the same, like, planetary system? Like, does it only become... at what point does it go from being a ground bridge to a space bridge?
I just hate the term ground bridge, because yeah, all bridges are ground bridges. That's a regular bridge. They're on the ground.
Yeah,
it doesn't really denote anything very special to call something a ground bridge.
It's taking space bridge, which is a thing that, by inference, we sort of make sense. It's a your Stargate, but then making it a ground one. It's still weird. Anyway, point is, like, at the end of the previous episode,
I mean, it maybe
like went into the cave and ended up.
I assume it's useful for them to have distinctions because it's probably like a different level of technology, and, you know, one has significantly more resource requirements than the other or something, but yes. Anyway, sorry, I'm being pedantic about this because it bugs me. Also because I've been watching something else that has a lot about space bridges in it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And they just call them all space bridges.
Oh, and another first in animated form, we get to see Bludgeon.
Oh, yes, very briefly. We're just checking in with Bludgeon. He's like, hey, you guys, you see anything or what? He's like, no, let me just go back to chopping this object.
He doesn't even say no. He has no lines. He's just a mute samurai practicing.
He's just busy doing weeb stuff.
Yes. But it is neat he's there.
Apparently he never has any lines on this show.
Oh, that... Actually, I kind of like
he will
like
show
that.
Up several more... I don't know. I kind of like Bludgeon as the guy who is always talking about his, like, weird, made-up religion.
Yes, but, like, that works when there's no Megatron. If there's no other leader and he can wedge him into that spot, then him pontificating makes sense. But if he's just sword guy who looks like a samurai skeleton... Yeah, he can be mute.
He's just too cool to talk to anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the Decepticon snake eyes. That's fine.
The Hot Rod going through the Decepticon base looking for the moon cheetah.
Yeah, so Lockdown and Clobber arrest him. And, you know, Shadow Striker's mad because they did not serve as adequate bait. But Megatron's like, hey, we can totally, like, bargain this guy. Because, hey...
Yeah, some of you actually accomplished something. And it's my two biggest idiots.
I'm going to call up Megatron and be like... Or I'm going to call up Optimus and be like, LOL, my two worst guys captured one of your best guys.
And he says that in front of them, which is rude.
Yes.
And they don't make a comment. It's like, yes, we are the dumbest. We know this. Like,
yeah, that's us.
So Optimus is like, okay, I guess I gotta trade my life for yours. This is... less dumb than that time I blew myself up over a video game, but still pretty dumb.
Yes. I like when Optimus comes on the screen, Hot Rod is just like, hey, Optimus!
Hey. And then, of course, Hot Rod immediately escapes, and Optimus Prime is like, how about no, then?
Yes, because Hot Rod was only putting up with any of this because he wanted to see if the moon cheetah was there. So at this point, yeah, he's like, well, I guess there's no moon cheetah here. And he uses the little exhaust pipes on his forearms to melt his handcuffs. Ooh, yeah. Which, you
Does
know.
Does he ever use those outside of the movie?
I don't think so.
I'm using them in the cartoon, even season 3.
Usually it's just like, I don't know. But usually it's just as like lasers. Just. Mm. Put his arm out and shoot.
So Slipstream she finally finds Silver Seekers, and they are just stealing Vector Sigma out of Shockwave's lab like they're stealing a TV during a blackout.
Uh-huh.
It is a lot like that. I forget, did we have Vector Sigma in season 1?
He was mentioned.
Okay.
Again, like, so much of this season is like, we don't remember much of the first season.
No.
And anytime something comes up, but and a lot of it's, okay, that's from G1. Did we already do that? Like, the arc in the volcano?
But yeah, this is just a extremely vector sigma, vector sigma. It is a multifaceted golden sphere, and they just have it, like, not on a hand cart, but basically on a hand cart.
Yeah, a hover cart.
And they're just like, we're not doing anything.
And then Hot Rod runs her over. He evades Lockdown and Clobber, and they end up shooting Shadow Striker accidentally, so he zips out. Megatron's like, God damn it. But then he too sees the Moon Cheetah.
Oh wow, I didn't know Megatron was a dumb boy.
It's like, oh no, wait, am I stupid? And he's like, oh well, this changes everything.
Does it though?
Yeah, so that is it for our two episodes today. I thought these were pretty interesting, actually. We got some plot development. I mean,
yeah,
still got the typical Cyberverse issues, but I like the idea of Clobber and Lockdown, Decepticon
losers,
randos. Yeah, Decepticon losers.
Well, I always loved two Decepticon idiots, like Ransack and Run Amok. It's like, give me two idiots. The as you mentioned earlier, 21 and 24. Great dynamic. The give two us, idiots.
Give us some henches. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I did watch it before a few years ago. So I'm not coming in entirely fresh. And I did reassure you that it was not all going to be like the first season. So.
No.
Thankfully, yes. Yeah, I'm confused by how we got here from the first season and why the first season exists, but this is okay. It just feels
like they needed a second season, and they did not have a second season worth of ideas that would continue off the first season. So, soft reboot.
And the concept of this season seems to be, what if episodes of season two of the original Transformers cartoon?
Kinda.
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's throw Cheetor in there. See what happens.
It's Moon Cheetah.
I'm not as compelled by the whole mystery of the Moon Cheetah.
Not really, no. But as a background element, it's fine.
Yeah. So that does it for us for Cyberverse this week. We'll be back with more Cyberverse next week. Until then, we are all over the internet. We are on Mastodon. We are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses for IaconUnderground.net. That Patreon is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground, and for as little as a dollar a month for helping us with our bills, you get access to one of our... Every month we do a special episode, and it's usually something either really good or really bad. Every so often, it'll be something with differing opinions, like Thunderbolts. Mm. But usually, yeah, it's pretty unified in either being very good or very bad. But
and occasionally both, like last month in October.
Yes, for October, we did the thing that I didn't even know existed until it got brought up for a Patreon episode for Halloween. In like 1980, there was an anime adaptation of Marvel's Tomb of Dracula comic. Sadly does not have Blade, but does have a bunch of like standard stock Harmony Gold voice folks. So also it's like, I mean, the dub isn't terrible. It's not like Omni Productions bad, but it's...
No, it's competent.
It's amusingly... Yeah.
And then, of course...
It's very of the time of 1980.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the movie itself is totally insane as it careens from plot point to plot point.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's...
Because it's...
Nearly 70 issues of a comic crammed into 90 minutes. It's great.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you're writing a monthly comic series, you have to keep, like, having things happen in order to continue having a storyline. So there's a lot of just, like, suddenly they're shooting a baby. and suddenly the baby is brought back to life by God. Suddenly Dracula doesn't have his powers anymore, and he has to mug some people to buy a cheeseburger. So it is, it's a ride. That was a fun, I guess I would say it was a fun thing to watch, but it was definitely a fun thing to talk about. And also our previous episodes have been pretty great. I guess for November, we're having kind of a throwdown right now between Superman and Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of those.
You'll find out before we do.
One of those two will be discussed for our November episode, since they are both going to be available on digital and streaming and other home-based sources that don't involve just pirating a copy that somebody made by holding their phone up in the theater.
My physical copy of Superman is on its way.
Ooh, there you go. I am a big supporter of physical copies of things. So, yes.
Well, I finally bought Transformers 1.
Ooh, did you get the physical copy of that?
Yes.
Did you get it in 4K? I don't know if you have a 4K TV.
I think it pretty much, it's the Blu-ray 4K combo, I think.
Nice.
Like, I thought about getting, like, the Steelbook, but apparently it's too late to get that at a reasonable price.
Aw, I ordered that, like, as soon as it was available, so I could get the Steelbook, so I could have a nice, pretty one.
Didn't really, I mean, the Steelbook looks neat, but it doesn't look that neat that I absolutely need it.
I can see that. It's not, like, groundbreaking.
Yeah, no, it's good flat posterized, but it's like the composition of the cover. It's like it could be cooler.
Yeah, that's fair. But yes, for as little as a dollar a month, you can get access to all of our monthly special episodes at patreon.com/iconunderground.
All right. So until next time, when we undergo some trials and witness a dark birth. Till then,
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
The moon! I'm gonna go watch Moonfall. Again? No, I'm not.